It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovek on Bloomberg Radio.
And I'm really excited for our next guest.
Don't get people excited. It's just John Tucker.
Our next guest, Bertina Ciccarelli, Chief Executive Officer of NPower. She's on the phone from Brooklyn, New York. She's here to discuss her new book, Innovating for Diversity, Lessons from Top Companies Achieving Business Success Through Inclusivity. Now, Bertina, I know you've been on a mission to advance racial and gender equity in the tech industry and disrupt the status quo to build a more inclusive workplace. Tell us more about your new book.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff and John. It's nice to be back on the show. The book, which is co-authored with Suzanne Tedrick, we took a look at companies that are smart about applying principles of innovation to improving their efforts around diversity. We know, and it's well proven, that more diverse teams help companies activate their innovation and achieve business performance. But what's less talked about is how you could flip that on its head and use innovation to think very differently and creatively about how to make DEI work within a company. And we profile great companies that are doing just that.
Does diversity in the end pay off for a company, since we're so focused on the bottom line here?
Without doubt. It has been proven that companies who achieve diversity among their employee ranks, their leaders, their board, outperform on a measure of financial performance rankings, as well as better improvement or better metrics around employee retention, all of which have a direct impact to the bottom line. But it's not just the business case for diversity that's important. If we only focus on that, it becomes a very transactional conversation. And we think that there is both a social and moral imperative to embracing DEI as well.
Bertina, what are some of the biggest issues that you found in the tech industry specifically?
So, you know, one of the things that we've found in the tech industry, interestingly, which I think applies to a number of companies more broadly, is that the very tactics that they are applying towards innovation and their products and services are lacking when they think about their efforts to do something very important, again, for their business, which is creating inclusive and diverse cultures. And so what we find is that rather than truly innovating for that, we see off-the-shelf standard approaches that might include a lot of activities like employee resource groups or unconscious bias training. All of those activities alone are okay, but if they're not backed up by a real strategy to create change, then they're just that, a series of disconnected activities without real innovation that gets to the core problem a company is trying to solve.
Do we get to this because it is the right thing to do, or do we need to be prodded by regulation and legislation?
You know, my opinion is the smart companies are going to do this because it's good for their business. When we see a CEO with an unwavering commitment to creating diverse and inclusive cultures, that CEO, his or her leaders, the board has a better opportunity of attracting great talent. And especially when we think about this generation, Generation Z, which is the most diverse generation in the history of the country, as they wend their way into the workplace, having a jump start on what it means to have an inclusive culture is going to help those good companies win the war for talent.
Who's doing it right?
You know, some of the companies we profile that I think are doing outstanding work, companies like Citibank, Northrop Grumman, Accenture, Tesco. Even small companies like an outfit out of New Orleans, Online Optimism, which is a small advertising agency. It just demonstrates that really good DEI practices can be embraced by companies of all sizes.
Why is it that some corporate programs from DEI practices end up failing?
So I think the answer to that question is for the same reason that their attempts at innovation fail. For example, we know that successful new ideas are rarely the purview of a chief innovation officer. So how can you expect a chief diversity officer alone to sometimes undo decades of fixed practices? That leader's got to have the support of the CEO and peers, HR and middle managers. Second, we rarely expect innovative new products to just sprout up overnight. They require research and market intelligence, planning, commitment. Similarly, any new DEI approaches need the benefit of input from those underrepresented employees. It requires piloting, iteration, and support before real change can happen.
Yeah, as we sit here in the studio, it's funny. We watch the tour groups go by. A lot
yes.
of young kids,
yeah.
especially
cool.
here at Bloomberg, so I'm going to do a shout-out for my own company. How much of this mentoring, that sort of thing, is how does that figure into this? How important is that?
So we find that any one of these strategies, like mentoring or creative employment practices like apprenticeships, can be really powerful ideas, particularly when they're thought about in a way that specifically addresses a core problem a company is looking to address. So, for example, Citi was looking to bring in more veteran talent, those who had served our country in the military, and they found that by launching a very different kind of an apprenticeship program that really targeted veterans who had some baseline technology skills, where they could spend 6 months to a year at the company really refining and learning that particular tech stack at Citi, that they found over a 90% conversion rate and opened up a whole new opportunity for talent growth, and again, a very hot market where they were seeking to bring people in outside of Dallas.
What about Target? Because you were writing about how it did succeed in retaining more diverse talent as well.
Target is such a good example of a company that's really embraced mentorship and, you know, not just as an idea to connect people to have conversations, but really to do it in a sustained way and really creating the kind of environment and culture that allowed for authentic interactions to happen and to help particularly underrepresented individuals within the company learn what it would take to advance in their career. So it was mentoring with a real purpose to help advance talent up the ranks.
The companies, I think you did actually mention a small company. I'm sorry, I forgot the name. But is this just a big company, or can small companies, is it important for them, this diversity push? Can they do it? Do they have the resources?
Well, we know that over 90% of Americans work for small businesses. And so we think our point of view is that small businesses are missing the boat. If they don't early on in their founding think about how to create inclusive cultures. And I think that's exactly what Online Optimism, the small advertising agency who we spoke to, their founder recognized early on that to be responsive to the needs of their advertising clients, it would benefit them to be able to draw from a broad mix of ideas, backgrounds, experiences, to bring all that goodness to bear on the campaigns for their clients across the nation. And they've been profoundly successful.
Do you have the resources? Can they contact you for, you know, because there's so few resources available, I feel, for a lot of small businesses.
Absolutely. In fact, innovatingfordiversity.com is a website where you can contact myself, my co-author, Suzanne Tedrick. We'd certainly be happy to discuss this issue with anybody interested in improving their DEI practices and creating a better world for everybody.
And what's your final big takeaway from your book?
I would say the unwavering support of the CEO is necessary, but not sufficient. Now, we've heard in the past couple of years a lot of big claims for how companies are going to make dramatic progress in diversifying their workforce. And without the commitment of HR and all the way through middle managers, those kind of proclamations fall flat. So really operationalizing all the tools and systems required to bring DEI deep into an organization and making it a part of the everyday culture is what works.
Bertina, that was a pleasure. Appreciate it. Very interesting. Bertina Ciccarelli, the Chief Executive Officer, NPower, joining us from good old Brooklyn.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.